You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. For the last several months on the show, I've been conducting a lot of interviews of Christian business leaders, Christian ministry leaders, Christian business people, and I've gleaned a lot of great information from those folks, as I'm sure you have as well. But every now and then I have an opportunity to be a guest on someone else's radio show and or some other venue where they're asking me a lot of questions about career callings, about finding work compatible with someone's God-given talents and passions. And so today what I want to do is kind of share with you some of the questions I often get in those kind of settings and share with you the kinds of answers that I like to give to people when they ask me those questions. So let's launch off with the first question, a very basic question that a lot of folks have asked me over the years, and that is this: what is the difference between a career and a calling? In order to answer that question, let's first talk about what a job is. A job is just basically something you do to earn money. Now, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines a career as a job or profession that someone does for a very long time. So your career is basically, you know, just at its basic core, just a job you're doing for a very long time. But then the word calling adds a lot of meaning to this discussion. When you look at what Merriam-Webster defines calling as, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the word calling as a strong inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. And in my words, basically what that means is this: a calling is a burden from the Lord to do something for His glory by serving other people in a particular way. So when we talk about career callings, which is the name of my ministry, what I'm trying to communicate is that your career, which is the job that you would be doing for a very long time, should have a God-given purpose underlying it, the foundation of it. And those two worlds meet together, purpose and job, in the term career callings. Now, then of course, a follow-up question that is very often asked in response to that definition of what career callings actually means is how does a person actually get there? How does a person actually identify a career calling, a job that has a God-given purpose? Now, let's be kind of starting out that conversation by saying this: no matter where you are today, no matter what you're doing in your work today, your work is your mission field. And from that standpoint, in that respect, your current work is a calling from the standpoint of you can actually use your position to influence other people for Christ by giving them a helping hand when they need it, by praying with them when they need it, by sharing the gospel when an opportunity arises. And so let me just get that out of the way. No matter where you are, God can use you. But when it comes to actually trying to identify a career calling, a place where not only do you have a job that where you can be used by the Lord, but also you have an underlying purpose that you know is God-given, how do you identify that opportunity? Well, that's a two-step process. And so when considering what kind of career calling God intended for you, you know, what kind of house He wants you to build, you need to understand that God made you both for a general career type of work as well as for a specific burden or career calling. to determine what kind of work in general God designed you for, you need to discover the dominant gift God entrusted to you. Although God gives each of us more than one strength, your dominant gift is the thing you do at your absolute best with the least amount of effort. And the Bible is clear that God imparts to each of us gifts that He intends for us to use for His glory and for the betterment of other people. And when we find work that centers around our gift, we glorify God and benefit others to our maximum potential and to our maximum personal fulfillment. And there's a biblical example here, a couple of guys named Bezalel and Aholiab that I want to share with you, their story from the Bible. They demonstrate that God imparts gifts to us, which makes us excel in certain types of work. For example, in the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, the Bible states that God gave both Bezalel and Aholiab the Spirit of God, wisdom, and understanding to be excellent in a particular type of work, and that was craftsmanship. Now, they didn't manufacture that gift themselves. They didn't gin that up. They were hardwired with it by the Lord God Almighty. So to discover your gift, oh, but by the way, basically what Bezalel and Aholiab's culminating life's work was to lead the charge to build the tabernacle for the Lord and for His glory and for the benefit of the people of Israel. Now, to discover your gift, write down all of your successes, both personal and career related. Then see if there's a common theme, if there's one talent or skill that runs through most of your achievements. If there is, chances are that is your gift. And then you can also, go to friends and family and coworkers and ask them for some feedback. What kind of abilities do they associate with you? And they may have picked up on a characteristic that you've undervalued or that you've ignored or maybe you have not even noticed. And when I look back on my life, just as an example, one gift that arises time and time again to the surface is the gift of teaching. I mean, I can remember as far back as grade school having fellow students asking me if I could explain to them what the teacher said. And for decades since then, I've taught people a variety of topics on a one-on-one basis and, in classroom settings and seminars. And every time I teach, I feel energized and I feel personally fulfilled. And the reason for that is because I'm glorifying God by helping others in the absolute best way I can with the least amount of effort on my part. And if I were to kind of reword that to make that make a little bit more sense, in other words, I'm working in accordance with God's gift to me. I'm effectively helping others in a way that comes most naturally to me. Now, identifying your gift is the primary clue to identifying in general what type of work you're best suited for, but there are many kinds of jobs that would enable you to utilize your gift, meaning that there are many types of jobs that could be very, very fulfilling. Does it really matter for me, for example, what I'm teaching? As long as I'm teaching something to an audience that actually wants to learn, I'm not so fond of teaching groups of people who don't want to be there, but if there's a group of people that actually wants to learn what I'm teaching, it really doesn't matter to me what the subject matter is. I'm still very fulfilled. I'm enjoying it. I feel like I'm glorifying the Lord and benefiting other people at the same time. So how do you determine what specific work, what specific calling God has called you to, where He intends you to make use of that gift that He's given you for the betterment of other people and for His glory? Now, here is how you do it. Your specific career calling is found at the intersection of where your gift meets the specific problem that God has burdened you to solve. Before God gives you a specific call, He will first of all give you a specific burden. He will show you a specific pain that others have, and He will give you a desire to remove that pain. And He will show you that you are uniquely designed by Him to remove that pain because He endowed you with the perfect gift to be able to do that. Identifying your God-given burden is not the same thing as identifying a need that others may have. I mean, look, you, me, anybody, we could sit down at a table with a pen, a piece of paper, and 10 minutes of our time, and we can make a list of dozens of needs that other people have. The difference, though, between understanding the pain that others have and being burdened to remove that pain kind of works like this. The burden will touch you at a very deep emotional level. And God will not let you forget about that burden no matter how hard you try. See, emotion may be a part of understanding a need. Just a plain old need, not a burden. But the emotion will not be acute. Also, time will cause you to forget about those needs that you identify only in your human strength. And that would be, again, like you and me sitting down at the table with a pen and paper and just saying, oh yeah, these people need this, these people need this, I could see these people need this, and maybe I could do something about helping these people with this need. Yeah, again, that's our human strength. Any of us can do that and rattle off all kinds of needs that we see. But again, that the emotion, if any, attached to our identification of those needs will not be very strong or acute. God-given burdens, on the other hand, are characterized by deep emotional identification with those in pain. And God will not let you forget about the need He wants you to address until you do something to address it. Here's a biblical example of what I'm talking about. Nehemiah. When Nehemiah first learned of the broken walls and poverty of Jerusalem in the book of Nehemiah, he was so emotionally distraught that he prayed and fasted for several days. And that comes straight from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. But in chapter 2, we find Nehemiah asking the king for permission to travel to Jerusalem to address the problems there. What many people don't realize, and I did not understand for many, many years, is that there was about a 5-month gap of time, give or take a few weeks, but roughly a 5-month gap of time that passed between chapter 1, when Nehemiah first learned of Jerusalem's pain, and chapter 2, when Nehemiah took action to do something about it. And during that 5 months, God continually reminded Nehemiah of Jerusalem's need. Nehemiah continued to pray and fast during that 5-month period. God made it very, 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 very clear to Nehemiah that he was uniquely gifted and called to do something about that particular need. At some point in your life, maybe several times in your life, God will burden you for specific work, just like he burdened Nehemiah. He will show you pain that others have. He will touch you emotionally about that pain. And he will constantly remind you of that pain. He won't let up. He will not let up until you realize that he gave you the perfect gift to remove that particular pain that he's burdened you so much about. And so where your gift, the thing that comes most naturally to you with the least amount of effort, and your burden, that deep, emotional, won't-go-away burden for someone else's pain that you would like to help them remove. When your gift and your burden intersect, that's where your specific career calling lies. And if you want a life filled with God's peace, you will need to submit to that calling no matter what it is. Now, career callings exist because God gave me a burden to do something about the financial and emotional pain that people suffer as a result of poor career decisions. And having struggled with career decisions myself for nearly 20 years, I understand that pain that comes with bad career choices. And I emotionally connect with people who don't know what their vocational purpose is. And with my gift of teaching, God showed me that, my calling was to share with others what I've learned through my career struggles so that their financial and emotional pain can be alleviated or avoided altogether. Now, some people have asked me this question. What if you don't currently have a burden? Well, that's possible, especially if you're younger. It seems like burdens seem to be a little bit easier to identify and a little bit more common in people who are a little bit older, who've got a little bit more life experience underneath their belt, so to speak. But that doesn't matter. Even if you don't have a particular emotional burden that you can identify, then you should at least take the time to identify your gift and take the steps that, based on the information that you have on hand, you think God would have you take. And the Bible's clear that if you commit your works unto the Lord, He will establish your thoughts. That's Proverbs 16:3. Not quoted verbatim, but that's pretty much the gist of it. And He also tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So in other words, if you desire to do God's will, He will guide you along your path. For as Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So discover your gift, that thing you do so well with the least amount of effort, And then look out for your burden, that pain that you see in other people that you have a deep emotional tie to and you just can't shake it. You got to do something to help those people out. Where those two intersect, that is where you will find your career calling. When we get back from the break, we will talk about some other questions that I get from time to time, including the questions, do I have the right to enjoy my job? And what's the biggest reason my career isn't going anywhere? See you back in a few on the Career Callings Radio Show. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and the emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. That's phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. As we said in segment one, for the last several months, I've been conducting a lot of interviews with Christian business leaders, business people, gleaning a lot of information from them, and we will continue to be doing that throughout the program's near future. But today I'm kind of talking about some questions that I am sometimes asked when I'm a guest on someone else's radio show or if I'm in some other setting. And one of the questions we asked, two of the questions we asked in the first segment were, number one, what's the difference between a career and a calling? Number two, how do you discover your career calling? Right now, I want to address this question. Do I have a right to enjoy my job? And the short answer is absolutely. There's biblical basis for that thought process. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says this, "Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." But one thing I want to warn you and me against is this. Just because the Bible says we have the right to enjoy our work and the fruit of our labor doesn't mean we always will. Sometimes God's calling in our life may not be all that fun, although it will be personally fulfilling because it's something he's called us to do. And if we don't do something he's called us to do, we will be miserable. But even if we do something he's called us to do, doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be a lot of fun. Take, for example, the prophet Ezekiel. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 4, these were God's instructions to the prophet. Number one, draw a picture of the city you live in on a piece of flooring tile and set it on the floor. Number two, place a toy army complete with camps, battering rams, and a siege wall around the tile so that it looks like the army's laying siege to the tile. Number three, take a big plate of iron and set it up between you and the tile. Number four, being bound with ropes, lay down on your left side for 390 days in a row and stare at the iron plate. Number five, after the 390 days is up, turn over on your right side and stare at the iron plate for another 40 days. Next, prepare and eat the same meal, barley cakes and water, every day at the same time. Then, go outside your house every day for the next 430 days so you can cook your barley cakes in the sight of the people using cow's dung rather than wood as the fuel for your cooking fire. And then lastly, my question to you is, how fun do you think that was for the prophet Ezekiel? And the answer was definitely not fun at all. But that was his calling for the next year plus, to be an object lesson for the nation of Israel. So yeah, sometimes, what God calls us to do may not be all that fun right now. But, you know, even if we're doing something God tells us to do and it's not all that much fun, it is still personally fulfilling and brings God's joy to our souls. If we don't do it, we're going to be miserable. If we do it, even though it may not be fun, we'll at least be personally fulfilled and have that inner peace from God. My biblical example for that, Prophet Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was oftentimes persecuted. And in one instance, he said, you know, pretty much I've given up. I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being beat up and or persecuted for the Lord's sakes. I'm just not going to talk about the Lord anymore. And here's where I get that. Jeremiah 29 says this, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." And so he made that decision. And he stopped talking about the Lord. But he was so miserable, he had to start talking about the Lord again. The second half of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 says this, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." The point I'm trying to make here is this. Yeah, perfectly fine. Biblically, there's a biblical basis that says, yeah, you can enjoy your work. But we need to understand that sometimes God's calling will not be filled with worldly happiness. It will only be filled with godly joy. And if we don't do it, we're going to be miserable. Because as Jeremiah said, he wanted to be worldly happy. He wanted to stop the persecution. He stopped talking about God. But then the Lord just made him miserable in his heart because he was disobedient to God's will. So Jeremiah chose rather to be in great communion, constant communion, inner peace with God by obeying God, understanding that at least for the time being, it would bring worldly persecution. And sometimes we need to understand that's going to be the same with our career calling. Another question I've gotten from time to time is this. What's the biggest reason my career isn't going anywhere? Christians may fail in their efforts for a number of reasons, but one possible reason often overlooked is that they miss the truth of Psalm 127:1. Psalm 127:1 says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." What that tells me, what that tells you, is that no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you strive, no matter how hard you pray, you will not be able to build a house that God does not want you to build. This was true for King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where he greatly desired to build the Lord's temple, but he wouldn't let him do it. God would not let David do it. He made Solomon, or he enabled Solomon to do that for him. And since it was true for David, it's going to be true for you and me. If you're trying to build a business and God wants you to build a ministry, or vice versa for that matter, he's going to remove every nail you drive, block every permit you apply for, and fail every inspection for the building you're trying to construct. God has a purpose for your life, and if you live in avoidance of his purpose and in pursuit of your own, the house you're building will be a house of cards. God will blow it down again and again until you finally get the picture that his house is the only one that will stand. And as kind of a companion thought to that, you know, a lot of people, our world teaches us that all you got to do is work hard and you're going to be successful, right? Well, you know, that's the idea of working hard, of being diligent. That's certainly biblical. There's plenty of verses in Proverbs, for example, that talk about the benefits of being diligent. A lot of people equate diligence with getting up early, staying up late, working your fingers to the bone. And their thinking is that God will always bless hard work. Well, that's not necessarily what the Bible says. Psalm 127:2 says this, "It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved in sleep." So maybe your career isn't going anywhere, and you are getting up early, and you are staying up late, and you are working your fingers to the bone. Well, you know what? The reason why that you're doing all that work, you're being all that diligent, and nothing's happening is because, again, you're trying to build a house that God did not want you to build. Because, see, if God is wanting you to build a particular career or a particular work, and you're in alignment with his work, then he's going to bless your work even while you sleep. That's what Psalm 127:2 says. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be a hard worker during, you know, regular hours, but staying up late, getting up early, being anxious all the time, that's not going to be necessarily something that brings you success, especially if God is in opposition to what you're doing. So bottom line is this, if you're chasing money in your career and you can never seem to find the money, chances are it's because God's not wanting you to go in that direction. He may be wanting you to go in some other. You need to get on your knees and ask the Lord to show you which direction he wants you to go with his career, and then go that way, and then he'll bless your work, not only while you're awake and diligent, but also while you're sleeping. That's a wrap on another edition of Career Callings. If you were blessed by today's material, I invite you to come to careercallings.net/radio to get a free podcast version of today's broadcast. And you can also subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker Radio, or TuneIn Radio, and be tied into the Career Callings Radio program through those podcasting platforms. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.